My studio guest has recently taken on a 2-year deal as Derry City Football Club manager. Kenny Shields, Máthair Feltman, has had significant impact, of course, previously with clubs including Kilmarnock over in the Scottish Premiership. What challenges lie ahead? Where do we start? Kenny, good afternoon to you and welcome to Radio Foyle.
Just a correction, Mark, Macarama.
We were talking about this upstairs. Half of them said Macarama, half of them said Máthair Feltman, and you better get that right.
I know. There's a big difference between the two.
Kenny, you were telling me you've had a previous encounter in these very studios with the great Richie Kelly, and you live to tell it to you.
Yeah, I'm still alive and kicking. And Richie's a good lad. I had a really good relationship with Richie when I was, forgot his name already, at Coleraine in those days. And, he's
passionate.
Very, very, very much so, yeah.
Kenny, it's good to have you here. How do you feel? You've had a busy day. You're meeting players, you're shaking hands. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm meeting players and meeting other people as well at the club, Liam Haggerty and people like that. And it's just, it's like any football job that you go into in management. It's constant, you know, and that's the buzz that keeps us moving and keeps us going. So, no, I'm very excited about what we can do with the club.
Why not hang on a while? A lot of people say you were pipped for the next Glentoran job. Why not hang about that? Why go hammer and tongs and say, yeah, I'm way to Derry here?
I don't think I've came hammer and tongs. It's more, I've watched Derry towards the end of their season, and I can relate to so many people in the city, and I'm looking at it and having discussed it with the board and the chairman. There's lots of things within my skill set that fits in accordance with the needs of Derry City, and you know, I really do feel that I can make a contribution to the club.
Some managers do things very differently. What do you believe is your thing that makes Kenny Shields? That, I mean, Kilmarnock, the people over there loved you. Mm. Is it about that passion as an individual human being? Are you a bricks and mortar man? What do you believe is are foremost in your skill set?
Well, I feel that I don't just manage the team. I go to the club and look at areas that we can improve upon. Any football club, I'm a little bit old-fashioned because I always feel that a football club should be the focal point and the hub of the community. And in order to make it work, we need to touch with the community. We need to have a connection. And if I can have that foremost in my head all the time, that I want to contribute to making people happy and contribute to a positive energy around the stadium, around the club, and befriend and build relationships, then that can only be good for not just the club but for the city. So in Europe, football clubs are owned by the council, and they're driven by the council, and they've got multi-sports systems around the clubs and in that area. Mm-hmm. And everybody goes there. Like Bayern Munich, for example, have got, they can only house 70,000 or 68,000, but they've got over 1 million members. So that tells you there's more to watching Bayern Munich on a Saturday. They've got basketball teams, they've tennis teams, they've got everything on the periphery of that hub. Mm. And I feel that the Brandywell can be that. I feel that what we can give back to the people is important, that that's reciprocated, and they come, they pay their money, they want entertainment, and I've got to play a part in that.
Talking about membership, did you go around the pubs in Scotland and spot the boys watching telly and say, fellas, come on, come back to the club?
Yes, I did. I did all of that. The gates moved from 3,300 to 4,009. I think it was 1,700 extra supporters we were getting in for home games against, you know, the likes of Hamilton Academicals and teams like that, who are not the most appealing. They're good clubs, but, you know, they don't have a big volume of support. So we definitely moved the crowds up the way. Winning the cup then also added to that. Mm-hmm. But I think there was an energy there that was driven by myself and my staff, and I got the players to phone up season ticket holders. I delivered season tickets. I did all of that, and I'll do it here if that's what it takes to bring people through the gate.
How do you reflect on your time in Scotland now, Kenny? people found it, you know, because you were very popular with a huge part of the fan base in Killy, weren't you?
Yes, well, self-praise is no recommendation.
Well, you were. I've heard the phrase used, you were almost, in the sporting terms, you were almost like a cult figure.
Yes, I was popular, but, you know, they were popular. I think I made a lot of friends there, and I want to make sure that, I think a big thing about a football club is to build relationships on the periphery of that. It's not just about the 11 players on the pitch, and they've got to draw an affection and an affinity with those people in the stands, and even if they're calling them names, you know, there's got to be some sort of connection there. And I feel there's so many, it's how you do the little things. You know, if you do the little things well, the big things will take care of themselves.
So what went wrong?
Nothing really went wrong. It was just, it's difficult to put it all into words, you know, and I would have to say I was exempt from blame in totality, because all I did was work at my job, and there's certain things said that they felt I shouldn't have said.
Criticism of referees, touchline
fracas.
No,
it wasn't so much that. I got three matches, and then it's too long of a story to tell on the radio, because, you know, I went in and brought video evidence which totally, you know, exonerated me, yet they still done me. And the Referees Association and the Football Association in Scotland are very, very close.
Are you a hard manager to manage?
I'm not a hard manager. No, definitely not. I think I am the sort of person that will do the job to the best of his ability. Hierarchy, not club hierarchy, but hierarchy, if they do something that affects my club, then I'll stand up for my club. And sometimes I've been a victim of that. In fact, at Kilmarnock, I was a victim of standing up for the club. And when the people were more or less asked to stand up with me, they done a runner. So, and that's what happened. And
so you're a man of the people, instinctively, ahead of being a man of the establishment.
You could say that. You could say that. But, you know, at the end of the day, my focus is on doing what's best for the football club. Mm-hmm. And like any other human being, I do that to the best of my ability. And where it takes us is dependent on how I work with the players, how we manage the team, and also how the supporters can get behind us.
See, Kenny, you're talking to a rugby man. I used to go to Brandywell when they were playing a beautiful game. A lot of people are saying it's fell by the wayside. You've arrived at a time when they are languishing. But, you know, you've been openly critical of referees. You're an animated guy. You're a guy that seems to come from the floor of the belly. You know, the touchline situations, a couple of bands. Do you need to change that?
I don't think that's
in the League of Ireland.
I don't think that's something that should be prevalent in this conversation. I feel I've come in to discuss my ambitions for Derry City, and that's foremost in my mind. I've certainly gone away from that.
Well, let me ask you, do you need to ease off on that stuff? Do you think?
I have.
Because some fans love managers.
But it wasn't as bad as, if you knew the Scottish media, then you would understand a little bit better.
Sure.
Because Neil got the same stuff at Celtic, and, you know, and they're a much bigger club, and, you know, Ali McCoy's got it. The Scottish media, they will go after you until they nail you. And they went after to me, and a little bit of naivety on my part. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've got a different sense of humour to us. And I wound one of the journalists up because, you know, as if you would believe this, we got a player sent off after 2.5 minutes. And I said, this was my sarcasm, but it was a bit of humour. I said in the press conference the next week, I says, well, what I'm going to do is bring him on after 2.5 minutes because he'll have served one game, because he got one game. And it was a joke. And a guy phoned me after. He says, Ken, are you serious about that? I says, of course I am, over the phone. So he put it in the paper that Shields is going to play this, my captain, and he's bringing him on after 2.5 minutes, as if he would believe that. So he didn't understand my sense of humour. And then this other journalist says, are you having a laugh? I says, no, I'm not having a laugh. I says, this was a second journalist that phoned me. And I says, oh, quit. All right, I am. I says, he says, that man's going, man's printed it in the paper.
There you go.
So,
do you think, just in the broader sense, I mean, I watch the coaching thing with interest. You know, I have to say I'm not a Mourinho man in that sense, you know, where it's all about the manager and the colour and the talking back and stuff. Like, I'm not saying you're like that. But it is a trend in soccer generally, isn't it, that the manager's always almost as big a story as the result on the 11 men with the football boots on. Is it a good trend, Kenny? Certainly adds interest to the game. A lot of fans, as I say, love it.
In my view, not so much in Scotland, not as much as, but if you look at the English Premier League, it's governed by television. The whole financial side of it, and it means that players get better wages, clubs get more money involved in it. So the TV has to be sellable. You know, there has to be, they want, there's not a lot of characters in football that's going to do themselves harm. Every interview now from a manager is guarded. You can see that. And it's full of cliches. And, you know, I'm not saying that's wrong, but there's a lack of entertainment. And they do, as you say, focus on managers. And yeah, if they say something, like Louis van Gaal's the guy at the minute that they're getting good interviews from, because some of it's unwittingly he's showing witticism in a way in which, you know, it comes over as funny, but he doesn't intend to, and it's a bit like Laurel and Hardy stuff.
Some practicalities, let's talk about some of the detail. I know you're still getting to grips with the task, and people respect that. People might have thought that with the announcement that you were coming, that would galvanise a lot of questions over key players. Rumour has it that we're going to lose Mark Timlin, the main man, many would say. Can you confirm that?
Yes, Mark, I spoke with Mark in the last 48 hours, and, you know, I've accepted it that he won't be coming back to Derry City.
Did you ask him to stay?
Of course I did. And I wanted him to stay because he's one of our top players. But, you know, sometimes you can chase lost causes and waste some energy in that there, which could be put to other places. We will lose players. We've accepted that, and we've got to replace them.
Well, let me name some. Will we lose Patrick McElhinney?
Patrick McElhinney has been at Peterborough, as you know, and there's not a yes or a no answer to that.
Are you worried about that?
Of course I'm worried, but you don't know. Not worried's the wrong word. It's going to be very difficult to replace that type of player.
What about Skipper? What about Ryan?
Ryan, we're in deep negotiations at the moment as we speak, and I hope to have that concluded in the next, again, Wednesday, Thursday of this week.
Might Brandywell lose him?
I don't think so, if you're asking me, because I can't provide that answer for you, because Ryan, what's inside Ryan's head and what's inside my head are, hopefully that will be compatible, and we'll reach an agreement this week.
Privately, Kenny, were you hoping that with the announcement of an SPL manager coming to Derry, that would have just killed all these questions overnight? We're getting Shields, fellas, the glory days are around the corner. It seems not to have been the case, certainly with some of the players we've talked about there.
Well, you know, Mark...
Did that disappoint you?
No, not really. Mark has... You see, footballers don't come to a club or stay with the club because of who the manager is. That's only a contributing factor. It's about ambition. In Patrick's case, I'm sure he's ambitious to play in England. You cannot fault him for that. So it doesn't matter who the manager is. Mark Timlin, I think it's a geographical decision. He wanted to be down in Dublin. So these are what you would call out of my control. Mm-hmm. And Patrick McElhinney, for me, is showing ambition. So I commend him for that. I want all my players to be ambitious, because if they're not ambitious, they'll not go in the trenches with you. They have to be ambitious, and I think Patrick, if he decides to go to Peterborough, then I think that's a really good move.
It's foolhardy, of course, for anybody to say. I mean, I've seen managers say, oh, you know, we need to be winning 3 trophies a year, all that kind of stuff. But have you set yourself targets of any sort, even at this stage?
The first thing is to rebuild the team and create a good energy about the Brandywell and about the city. And, you know, the first, what everybody looks at is there's, as soon as a player leaves and there's a slight domino effect where two or three are leaving because of other reasons, you're going to get that anyway. And once players start coming in the other way, then there's a positive energy. So quite often, in fact, most often, the ones that leave has an impact on the amount of players you have to bring in. So if we have three or four players leaves, then that will happen before the players come in.
Well, you've worked, obviously, in the SPL with players of significant calibre. I imagine the loss of potential stars in Derry is coupled with your ability to make a few phone calls for chaps who might be, let's say, available. Would you be optimistic in terms of replenishing the squad?
I'm optimistic, but you've got to look at the salaries of a Derry City player and the salary of an SPFL player. There's quite a big gap there. So, you know, we have to work in reality as to what we can acquire for the club. And there's players out there that I feel can certainly help us. We've got to make sure we've got... It won't be long to pre-season starts, you know, and then... But we've got, say, 4 to 6 weeks before we start pre-season. And then, by that time, we'll see who's coming in. And, yeah. And it gives us a good example and a good logic to work to. If so many players have left, then so be it. We work to get other ones in. We don't want anyone to leave, but, you know, sometimes people have had their decisions made up.
In 6 months, what kind of football do you want to see being played at Brandywell? If it has your stamp on it, Kenny, what kind of football is that?
Well, I think most people know that how my teams play, that we play with... We generally dominate the ball, no matter who we're playing. And we... We play with good nous, so to speak. We go against the ball collectively and we play with the ball collectively. So it's important that we get a brand of football that is intense, that's exciting, and there's work in the penalty boxes. So we've got to make sure that we deliver that so that the people are content with the what they're seeing.
And has the Derry squad, as it's been given to you, does it need work defensively or do we need to be scoring more? What do you feel is the fundamental priority for the squad you have as it stands?
I think over the season that's just finished, then you don't have to be Einstein to work that the improvements have to be made. Not all of the improvements, I'm sure, when I speak to everyone and have some training sessions, not all of the improvements necessarily have to be physical. Some of them will be mental, and you know we've got to work on building a bank of self-belief and confidence, and we want our players to look forward to going out onto the Brandywell and having a pride and playing for the club. I'm not saying that's not there. I will establish that over the coming weeks, but we must make sure that we have it there for the start of the season.
And of course Finn Harps promoted, was just you know, it's exciting to need to be managing that.
It is, yeah. Get into some excitement there quickly.
Listen, so listeners play a big part of what we do here, and let me just run, we just throw it out to people and saying, look, are you the right man for the job? Daniel Tolan says, as a Derry fan, I'm delighted with this. Kenny will bring a professional approach to the club as well as being extremely hard working. Jerry McFadden says he's done his best at Kilmarnock, encouraging fans to go to the matches. He went around the local pubs, Kenny have confirmed that, and persuaded Laps fans to buy season tickets. It'd be great if he would do that here. Frank Harkin says, I met him a couple of years ago, completed my coaching badges, sound man with a wealth of experience. I wish him all the best. Niall Moran says, God help him. Tony Healy says, great times for Derry City with the stadium at long last getting upgraded, and hopefully success on the pitch for the new manager. Look, there's no point beating around the bush about that stadium. It's widely acknowledged to be the worst looking, worst tended facility in the League of Ireland. It's not pretty.
Well, you think it needs a lick of paint?
Well, I think a lot of people wanted to see. I'll tell you, now that you ask. There was a debate we had on this programme and it came back like thunder from fans to say, now is the time to take Derry lock, stock and barrel along that river, that beautiful old army site, which is position A real estate, get the club modernised, modern stadium, start from scratch. Might you have been the boy to have done that if we'd got you 2 or 3 years ago?
I can't say it. No, it's unfair to say that. But because the managers that I've taken over from have worked hard to do their best for the club, and I'm going to do the same as they did.
But it strikes me that the club is hamstrung by the community. It's historic. Lonemere Road, synonymous with Derry. But the community is thronged every game. It's not without its difficulties. Security, not without its difficulties with location. Modernity, not even on the page, Kenny. It's not a modern place to play football. These are all questions, you know, I think a lot of people here would love to see Derry as a modernising city with a beautiful new Brandywell, or call it whatever you want, yes. Fort George, whatever. Too late to ask the question.
But I can bounce that back to you. What would you do? You know, because there has to be supporting mechanisms in place from the council, from the people of the city. You know,
yes.
It's not just about what the club can do. The club, there's certain things that are out of the club's control. For example, planning permission to build a new stand. People want it tomorrow, but there's white tape to go through when that starts, and all of these things are...
But the Gaelic can do that. Ulster Rugby can do that. Everybody seems able to do that, apart from Northern Football.
Well, because, well, we are a working-class sport, which Gaelic is also, but Gaelic is a parochial sport, which means that they get 100% support, you know, and I don't want to go down an avenue where I don't know what I'm talking about,
okay.
Because you've put me in the spot here. I don't know the politics of why the club have had to wait for funding or whatever, so I don't think it's fair that I answer that question. I'm only in the job 4 days. It seems like 24 days, but...
I think listeners will respect that.
Whatever.
Kenny, it's lovely to meet you.
Yep.
I mean, I think you're absolutely spot on when you say that when Derry City is kicking, that Derry as a city is kicking, and we would love to see those glory days.
Yeah.
We would love to. Are they possible, do you think?
Definitely, they're possible. And it's about... the application. I was with the 19s coaches on Saturday, and they're in 4 nights a week, which is a fantastic commitment for those young players and from the coaches. So there's people working behind the scenes to help, and their one aim is to make Derry City better, and that's what I want